Good afternoon. Welcome to Windows on the World. Mark Windows here, coming to you from quite a warm and sunny UK. In fact, we've been having a heat wave, almost a tropical heat wave. A Sahara-type wind has brought some much-needed, decent weather to the UK. And I'm in London at the moment, and it's quite interesting because what we're seeing is a half-hearted return to normal. Of course, we have mask wearers, we have signs everywhere, but it does seem to vary on the establishment as to how much of a Stasi is being imposed. For instance, a couple of days ago, wandered into a few pubs around the West End, and it's got the track and trace system with a very over-enthusiastic agent on the door, demanding your details, demanding you to be tracked and traced, whereas other public houses do not demand this at all. And in some places, you can't even find any hand sanitizer. What are we going to do? Well, I think we're going to try and get on with our lives. But tonight, or this evening, this afternoon, because it's this evening in the UK at the moment, we're going to be talking about data, your data being harvested, and the new global currency, which is data. Your smartphone is actually there to monitor you. No, this is not a paranoid conspiracy theory. This is the new business plan. And this is what COVID-19 has and is and will always be about, because it's not going away. And I'm going to be talking today to Vicky Davis, who's a little bit of an expert on this sort of thing. She might not agree with that, but I think we're all becoming experts, you see, because once we get versed in the terms of global governance, which we're trying to bring to you, the dear listener, then we do know what they are up to. Who's they? Well, it's a big corporate global governance system. Didn't you know that national government is no longer important? Documents have been signed, agreements have been made, and it's a big public-private partnership. Listen to this. We believe all people should enjoy the benefits of technology and data to improve their lives. Everything has to be presented in the form of a benefit. So far, so good. We believe that great technology products can be built and sustained in ways that respect individual privacy. They've highlighted respect individual privacy. Now, the reason they're doing that is because, of course, this doesn't. This is really saying that everything about you is going to be put on the internet, sold to the highest bidder. All the health information will stop you traveling if you are deemed to be a bit of a risk. And then, of course, you may be able to usurp that by getting much higher insurance, or they can just stop you traveling altogether. So let's see what else it says, and then I'll tell you what this is about, because this is really a clue into the bigger picture. We believe people have the right to control and benefit from their personal information. Well, the whole point is that they're making sure you have no control over it, because it makes it public and then it gives you access to it. Oh, clever one, isn't it? We believe in transparency and accountability. Whenever you see that highlighted, we believe in transparency and accountability. It's like when you're dealing with one of these majorly corrupt gatekeeping organizations like the Independent Office of Police Conduct in the UK, which used to be called the Independent Police Complaints Commission, which, of course, didn't like the word complaint being anywhere near it, so they took it out. And yes, it's like many, many of these agencies and organisations. When you see we believe in transparency and accountability, you know they're up to no good. It says we believe in equity and inclusivity. Well, equity is a right. So whether you believe in it or not has nothing to do with us. Equity is law. Equity, yes. And inclusivity. Oh, the I word, inclusivity. Now, I am desperate to be left behind, but no one will be left behind in the new normal, because the UN say so, along with all of these agencies, public and private. And then they go on to say, everything we do adheres to these principles. Well, that's great to know, isn't it? Well, who's saying this? They're called the commonsproject.org, but it could be any of a number of agencies or corporations or NGOs who are interfacing with global governance. So, yes, let's have a bit of a look at this. We've got on their website, this is really interesting. I found it just before the show. And yes, they are called thecommonsproject.org. Read it and weep. But get this, biocapitalist data mining stroke risk scoring. Common Health, this is the program, and it's a Rockefeller-funded type organization. I hope you're getting the picture now. It is full for the common good. No one will be left behind. And, yeah, why are you being so selfish? Common Health helps people collect data, collect, store, and share their personal health data information safely and securely. It was developed in collaboration with UCSF, Cornell Tech, and Sage BioNetworks, with broad participation from all corners of healthcare ecosystem. That's a giveaway, isn't it? So what we're talking about now is multi-agency complicity into the big global hive mind. They've got a COVID check, you know. This is what it's all about. Our projects, social engineering, economic regulation, education access. Oh, education access. Would that mean education access with the provision that you have to be vaccinated and you have to carry some kind of ID and you have to get yourself tested regularly? I think it might do, you know, because it's called COVID check. COVID check helps people around the world. Oh, that's all right if it's helping people around the world. No problem there then. It helps people around the world understand and reduce their COVID-19 risks. I hope you're reducing your COVID-19 risks. Developed in collaboration with the Centers for Disease Control and the World Medical Association, it also supports schools, universities, employers, and public health agencies in their efforts to overcome the pandemic. Well, I thought the pandemic had already been overcome, actually. Well, let's not let any details get in the way, because we're talking business here, nothing personal. Okay, Common Pass, this is where it's going. The Commons Project, Rockefeller Foundation Sponsor Board. This was created on July the 8th, 2020, so we're giving you something fairly new here. It's been updated today on their website. Well, these aren't the only culprits. It's all part of a big global system. Mobility restrictions. Did you hear that? Wait a minute, I thought this was for all our benefit and the common good. Now we're on to mobility restrictions. Oh, Common Pass. For global travel and trade to return to pre-pandemic levels, travelers will need a secure and verifiable way to document their health status as they travel and cross borders. Introducing Common Pass, a framework to help the world reopen safely. We're going to help the world reopen safely, Vicky. This sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, just really wonderful. And it gets even better when you read their white paper.
Yeah, well, we've been sort of exchanging a few documents today, and I came across this at the last minute, and it sort of adequately describes what you'd already sent in a much bigger document. And I always like it when they get everything down to sound bites, because then you can actually really understand what they're talking about. And it's all the same language. It's sustainable, inclusive, diverse, vibrant, and bloody tyrannical. And no, it seems that
they don't include that last word in there.
Don't they? I'll take it out then. Yeah, but I think this is absolutely amazing information, because no one seems to really be talking about this. They talk about it in general terms. And what's great about talking to you on the show is that you are able to identify a lot of where this came from. And we've talked about the documentation which brought this global governance structure, which is basically a new global health system on the back of this pandemic, into reality. And we've talked about that on the last few shows. And just before the show, you referred to where this all really started in the United States. So to start things off, could you kind of give us a bit of a background to what we were talking about earlier from 1990 onwards?
Yeah, well, it's difficult actually to pinpoint a starting point, because before the starting point that you start with, there was something that occurred before. But for people who want to research this, what you need to do is to find the G7 meetings that are posted on the University of Toronto website. And beginning in 1993, that's when they started, well, 1994, but it actually started with a ministerial meeting in 1993. And that's when they started planning the Global Information Society. And by Global Information Society, they were talking about the globalization of systems that the G7 countries, and for a while G8, including Russia, the systems that they held in common. So we get back to that word, common, and they basically served as the steering committee for the global information systems.
I really take issue with that phrase, steering committee, because an organization, a little charity, was taken over by a self-imposed steering committee. And anything to do with steering, I don't really like. Am I a conspiracy theorist, or do you think I'm right? What do you think?
Well, you're right at the level that you're talking about. But big IT projects always have a steering committee.
Yeah.
They're the ones that make the decisions. And at the global level, it's the G7 that serves as the G7 leaders. But it's really at the ministerial level where all the negotiations are done and the real decisions are made. By the time the leaders meet, it's basically they're just there to rubber stamp it. So
yeah,
kind of a formality,
exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it was interesting what you were saying about there's always a document that comes before what you are referring to. I found that especially with the climate change agenda, because that goes right back, but it all runs along similar lines, because it's only a system of governance, and it's a system of restriction, taxation, basically meaning less food, less water, less energy, less mobility, less choice, less freedom. It's basically all about rationing, and that's what this new global healthcare system's all about. But it's very creepy as well, because they're basically saying that they can take all your data and your mobile phone will be used against you.
Well, that's what this Global Commons project is about. It's self-reporting, and the system is going to operate like Pavlov's dogs. If you do self-reduction in the use of resources, they will give you a token, and that token serves as the basis for the universal basic income.
Yes, that's quite interesting, that document we were looking for. I think we should go on to that next, actually, because this is really creepy stuff. Uh-huh. Basically, it's all about resource use. Biological or living systems are highly resilient, demonstrating a remarkable efficiency in locating, obtaining, and distributing resources to sustain life, even under constantly changing conditions. It says here, yes. But basically, it goes, the project offers two concurrent initiatives. One, the development of a mobile app that is used for data collection and offers real-time visualization of direct environmental impact of individual and group actions. Now, this is exactly what Maurice Strong was talking about at the Rio conference in 92. In other words, they'd already decided that every human action has to have consequence. So that's really what this is about. It says development of a digital token representing the value of common resources using a trust economy and distributed ledger-based system. Would you like to decode that one for us, Vicky, if you can?
Yeah, basically they're going to give you an allocation of what they consider to be your share of resources.
Yes.
And as I am reading this, what they're saying is that if you use less than the resources that have been allocated to you, they will give you additional tokens. And they've set this thing up to work on a phone app, probably like in a game environment, because they say the use of resources will be represented in a virtual world similar to many of the simulated community building games currently available. Real-time vision.
You mean like a Event 201?
Well, yeah, that's all gaming.
And exactly.
We live in a virtual world of nothing but a big game, right?
Exactly. We have been kind of referring to that in the course of our conversations over the last few months, and all the evidence seems to point that way.
Right. Well, what they're going to do, they're going to give you a real-time virtualization on the direct environmental impacts of individual and group actions that are normally invisible, but they're going to display it to you graphically so that you can see, you know, if people in your neighborhood, for example, if everybody uses some of their water allocation to take a shower, and they use more than what they're allocated, that'll be a bad thing. So it'll give incentive to all of these little creeps out there, these millennial creeps, to come find out who's taking extra long in the shower.
Yeah, who's being selfish? Who's using too much water? Who's actually taking the water away from a poor person? I think this is the way to go, Vicky, because, you know, we're using far too many resources in the West. You know, I think Maurice Strong was right. I mean, he only had a 200,000-acre ranch. He only wanted to privatize his own water supply, and he only wanted to fly around the world doing business on a daily basis. So I think he's our role model. Why can't we all be like him?
Al Gore, he had a 7,000-square-foot house, but he's talking about saving electricity, not using electricity. So,
well, that's right. So the individual will enter data through the app. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Because that's what they're trying to do here now with the contact tracing. It's all kind of voluntary. That's the interesting thing about what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. In other words, it's up to the individual business at the moment what kind of surveillance they impose on their customers. So obviously these ones who've got this tracing app in their venues are getting incentives, and other people are saying, no, we don't want to do that. And that's really what was factored in to a lot of these games and these exercises. I was going to bring another one up today. We talked about it in our show on Sunday, COVID Wars. I will listen to that. It's up on YouTube, but we prefer you to listen on Spreaker, which is at windowsontheworld.net on our live shows page. Do go in and have a look at the archive. You will be amazed or staggered and informed and amused at the level of information in there. But yeah, it's all about driving behavior. So in other words, if you don't join in, then you're full of hate as usual. And that's a really tired way of looking at things as well. But what they're doing here is they're creating something which looks as though it's based on your participation and trust, which is quite a clever idea, really, isn't it, Vicky?
Oh, yeah, it is. If people join into this because they think they're doing something for the earth and they can earn some money or, you know, some tokens, it gives incentive for them to turn into what I would consider to be beasts, you know, because if they get on the list, it's kind of like one of those, what do they call those marketing schemes where you have one person, a distributor recruiting other people?
Yes, we'll be back after the break. We're talking technocracy here. This is Windows on the World.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Oh, welcome back to Windows on the World. Talking technocracy today. Listen to this. Speakers at a panel discussion organised by Bangladesh Permanent Mission in the United Nations stressed the need for a data revolution for curbing health emergencies and protecting jobs in COVID-19 response and recovery. That's a bit ironic, isn't it? Because we've lost about two-thirds of them so far, haven't we? They said evidence-based data is a critical enabler, not only for responding to the health emergency posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, but also for ensuring access to routine health services and social protection for the poorest and most vulnerable, as well as supporting jobs for the locals and the returning migrant workers. Bangladesh Permanent Mission in the UN organized a virtual discussion titled, wait for it, Accelerating Post-COVID-19 Recovery Using Data Revolution. Oh, I think we've got the two things there we need to look at. In other words, the whole of the idea of COVID-19 was about a data revolution. And also, this includes the blockchain. So when we look at the website of the Commons Project, tokens can also be earned through collective actions. Oh, here we go. Communitarianism. Ooh, what's wrong with me? Don't I want to join in? Why am I full of hate? Let's see. That decreases the use of common resources. Collective actions that decrease the use of common resources. Let's all spy on each other. Let's all check on who's throwing out what at what particular time. We've already got those in boroughs all over London. Did you know that? These people actually check what you put in your bins, yeah. The distribution of tokens will be administered through a distributed autonomous organization. Oh, that sounds very open, doesn't it? That sounds like it's very accountable, that one, Vicky, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's going to use smart contract technology on a trust economy platform such as blockchain. So all of you people who thought the blockchain was a good idea, well, us conspiracy theorists were right all along. It's only there to control you. Oh, what a letdown. I thought cryptocurrencies were the future.
Yep.
The Commons Project seeks to establish a new market-based economy where the economic motivation is not a maximization of self-interest. Can you see what all this is about? It's all about sacrificing everything for the common good. If we go back to where communitarianism came from, which is the system that they're using, based on communist principles, really meaning you own nothing. If you own nothing and you are not a holder of anything, if you do not hold any titles to anything, you actually have no standing. And that's what the new system's all about. You have no rights, no standing, but all your actions are going to be for the common good. So is that a good summation of what we've been looking at so far, Vicky?
Yeah, I'd say it fits perfectly. It's all about the group. It's and as a matter of fact, that's why they're making a war on the individual. In the United States, our country has always been about individuals, individual rights, and so this war that they're waging on patriots, in the big cities where they have Antifa and all these groups destroying cities, they are left alone to do what they want to do. But who do they come after? They come after the people that call themselves the patriot community, the people who actually know the principles upon which this country was founded. And
exactly. And it's interesting, I was looking recently at the background to the communist movement, and there's a great book actually by James Billington called Fire in the Minds of Men. It's a really good reference book. I wouldn't recommend you go all the way through it. It's a huge volume, but it's great for reference to certain periods of time. And it's all about this idea of the revolutionary and where that came from, what it really means. What that really means is that the state gains more power. That was the whole idea, really, and the deception of communism, in that it's really about giving more power to the state, which, of course, is what Antifa and all these groups are doing, because they are state-backed. They're globalist-backed, fake anti-globalist groups. And we've covered this on so many shows, that when you look at the protest movement and you look at the new data system, they're pretty much exactly the same, because they're using the same terminology. And it's all about going into one group consensus. In other words, it appears that everyone's agreed. And that is what this new system is dependent on. So they have to take away your ability to think critically and outside the box. And it's very interesting, actually. I think it's a way of thinking, because I've started hooking up with people who think outside the box. You know, all those people who are full of hate and they're selfish and they want to have their own things and they don't want to share them with everybody else. I mean, I don't know why, but I've become one of these intolerant, selfish people, Vicky. Can you help me here? Because I'm not really on board with global governance at the moment. I want to be off grid and I don't want my smartphone listening to me. Am I conspiracy?
Yeah, no, I can't help you, because I don't want to be part of the national systems. I also don't want to be part of the global systems.
So, me neither. You neither. We'll be back after the break. Always goes very quickly on RBN. Call in if you like. 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are Public Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Star Wars at least 8 times, had the Pac-Man pattern memorized, and I've seen the stuff they put inside Stretch Armstrong. Yeah.
Welcome back. I'm with Nikki Davis talking technocracy today and our common future. That was a document actually from 1987, which was all about what we're talking about today. We did refer to these documents earlier on, which kind of go back, and there's always one before it. So you have to keep really looking in the archive for this stuff. That's the problem, though, with the public, because when you talk about this unstructured concept of global governance, they don't get it because they watch television. Huge problem, that, because they'll say things like, well, if it was that big and organized, I'm sure I'd know about it. Well, it is, and you don't. So, Vicky, yeah, I've rather dominated the conversation so far, which I didn't really intend to do, but you had some documentation you wanted to bring up, I believe.
Well, I don't know if I did or not, but I think it's important.
I thought you did.
Because this subject is so big. I mean, I could go on for hours and hours talking about globalization and the design of the global infrastructure. Basically, our governments across the West, the G7 countries, have committed anarchy against their own country. Okay, but in that sentence that you read from this white paper on the Commons Project, it says, establish a new market-based economy. It's important to understand that the word market, the words market-based, that means a centralized system. It doesn't mean market, you know, like a street vendor selling his junk, his
umbrellas. But it doesn't mean free market, does it?
No, it does not. Absolutely, no. It's the opposite.
Yes.
But market-based means centralization of the producers in the market that the consumers then have to go to. It's like a middleman structure, you know, where you have the infrastructure with the buyers and the sellers on each side, or the producers and the consumers on each side. And so that's what market-based means. And whenever our politicians say market-based, understand they're not talking about the same thing you're thinking in your mind.
No, I think that's the same with all of this language and terminology. Mm-hmm. And this is where I find it interesting up to a point, and then I find it really boring, because once you know what they're talking about, all the documents become one and the same, really. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I find a bit problematic when I look at this stuff, because it starts to really bore me. But over the weekend and on our Sunday show, I was looking at this other scenario. It's another scenario by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which is what they're called. And it's called the SPARS pandemic scenario. SPARS, not SARS. The SPARS pandemic scenario of 2017. And basically, it was a tabletop exercise, which was a precursor to this event 201, again, organized by the Johns Hopkins University and, of course, Bill and Melinda Gates and the World Economic Forum. And it's kind of interesting. The purpose of this scenario was to put together this futuristic scenario, which isn't that futuristic. It was actually meant to be in the future, around 2025. But obviously, in sort of hindsight, when you look at this from 2017, it's interesting. It says that the purpose of it was the following narrative comprises a futuristic scenario that illustrates communication dilemmas concerning medical countermeasure. Now, this is interesting because it does tie into what we're saying. What they're doing with this is they're testing global compliance, because if we then go back to this document, it says that they need at least 10% or greater of the world's population for the token, this sort of token that they're talking about, which is all about measuring your, not only your carbon footprint, but of course all your medical health data and everything else, which will determine where you can and cannot go and what you can and cannot have. But yes, it's quite interesting, because this was what this test was really about. So even in these tabletop tests, what they're actually testing is the new system. It's got nothing to do with the virus. And what this was actually about was whether people would buy into it or not. And then, interestingly, it brought up a possible cure. Yeah. So they have this cure that comes up, and then it gets discredited, a little bit like hydroxychloroquine. So this starts to get really kind of, well, interesting and creepy at the same time, because really we are in an exercise. We're in a computer game. And I'm not going to say we're in the Matrix, because that's a cliche and that's boring, but we are in a computer game, aren't we, really?
Yes. Yeah. And these tabletop exercises that they do, they're basically going through the script of they're planning ahead what the script is going to be for the dialectic that they know they're going to need in a couple of years. And so, or a year or so. I know there was one, I don't know if that's the same one that I heard talked about before.
2017, this one.
2017. Yeah, well, it's the script, just like being in a movie. You know, here's the part that you're going to play. Here's the part that Bill Gates is going to play. And so it's like I said, you know, we are living in a virtual reality, and we're being gamed every single day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I find fascinating about this document. I mean, really, it's not too dissimilar from the event 201, but this was more along the lines of ideology and how it was going to work through the media. It says the scenarios predicted are, one, varying degrees of access to information technology, and two, varying levels of fragmentation among populations along social, political, religious, ideological and cultural lines. And we can see how all this has been played out and the public are being played against each other with the present pandemic. But it says a scenario matrix was then constructed illustrating four possible worlds shaped by these trends, a little bit like the Rockefeller document, that Institute of Technology one, which I always forget the name of, the 2010 Rockefeller document, which was all about a pandemic and the four different outcomes, the most likely being lockstep, which meant sort of further clampdown on individual rights, which is obviously what we're seeing, especially in Australia. And what's worrying about all that is all Crown territories get it in the end. So Australia, they usually start things down under, or they enforce them on Scotland. Scotland is still under lockdown. So I think what they're waiting for in the UK is for all the irresponsible people full of hate, not wearing masks, going to the beach and enjoying themselves and going to the pub, are going to be blamed for the second wave. And actually, we've got a call. We've got a couple of callers. We've got Mike. Are you still there, Mike?
Well, this is harkening back to you mentioned something about, you know, you didn't want your smartphone listening to you all the time. The only solution I've come up with is to put it in like a sugar cookie tin, and if an officer asks to see your smartphone, you can say, well, you know, officer, I sometimes have low blood sugar. Are you feeling okay? Would you like a sugar cookie? And then don't refuse to let them see your smartphone. You just have it hidden underneath the sugar cookies. And, of course, as you're carrying it around in a metal tin, you know, they can't do anything with it. You probably need some rice bags and nylon stockings or something to dissipate the heat, because when you turn these things off after iPhone 8, and interestingly enough, I think back in February, the policy change at AT&T was that you cannot fully turn them off. You can go to their webpage and turn off receiving calls and receiving texts. You can turn off the Wi-Fi, turn off the Bluetooth, power down the phone, and then it still sets off bug detectors. There's a private investigator up on my YouTube that is begging to share the information because he discovered he's sweeping for bugs and relocating at-risk individuals like witness relocation and abused spouses, and him and his partners kept getting the bugs set off by their own cell phones. So he got put on hold, and AT&T woman said, oh, I'll get back to you, talk to a supervisor. And she came back and said, look, we changed the policy in February. You can't turn the thing off. So,
yes.
The only solution is put it in a dang metal box. Now, if you carry around a large tablet or something, you might find a peanut brittle box that a tablet would fit in, you know, with the keyboard or something. But if you read the ant catalog, there's stuff that they can light up with microwave energy to spew out what you're typing on a keyboard. I mean, it doesn't even have to have a battery on it. So
no, that's a very good point. So do you think
Pentagon
gave
up a huge slice of spectrum for 5G. That's up on blacklisted news right now.
Oh yeah.
So where are you going to go? Where's the Pitcairn Island? Where you know, Fletcher Christian, you know, found Pitcairn Island to escape from Captain Bly. But where are we going to go?
I don't know. I was hoping that you could tell us, Mike.
What I'm getting at is we have no option except to fight this, because it becomes apparent that, you know, flee ye to the mountains or whatever we're told in the scriptures does not apply to our day. Don't come down off the roof. I mean, of course, the whole thing about the elements melting with fervent heat and all that stuff there's a whole new way to interpret that I've ran across. But where are we going to go? That's my question. They're putting it in on orbit. And Sam Wheeler apparently paid $1 million to Barack Obama's campaign in order to get the FCC chairmanship. So, you know, he talked about plant waterers or whatever, going to be tracking every dang thing, Internet of Things. And it's all
vulnerable. Well, when you have a country like Bangladesh, somebody from Bangladesh talking about having a virtual conference, that should tell you that there is no place that you can go.
No, India is very big in this, actually. India and Bangladesh. It also talks about Somalia in here. I thought it was quite interesting. It's actually from the Dhaka Tribune, but this was linked to their website. This is this group we were talking about, the Commons, you know, these people, the Commons Project. And
yeah. Well, they're using health and education to justify building out infrastructure in all of the most remote places in the world. You know, we've got to provide them with a healthcare system, and we've got to provide them access to internet, digital education.
Somebody sent me a solar-powered 5G node from Houston, Texas. They're putting up solar-powered, so where can they not? You know, obviously the solar-powered 5G can go anywhere, especially if it's pinging off these satellites, and they don't seem to care about destroying the ozone layer to do it. Four launches of the space shuttle in 2009 did more damage to the ozone layer than all of the asthma inhalers that they banned that year with chlorofluorocarbons. You can look the story up out of Colorado. It's still up on the web.
But I thought the ozone layer was just kind of self-repairing.
Well, 56,000 satellites are going up from four different vendors, yeah. Elon Musk and Tesla guy, what's his name? Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos.
That's right.
Want their own separate orbital Wi-Fi, and
yeah.
Obviously with that many satellites, you've got to have maintenance launches to fix and upgrade the spares as things, you know, fall apart or break. You know, you got to replace them. So that's going to require a lot of constant launching of stuff to poke holes in the ozone layer. It's just inconceivable to maintain that much of a constellation.
We'll have to see how it all goes. Yeah.
Alrighty.
I think we've got another caller, actually, Mike. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I know.
Charles
I'll
in Florida has been hanging there for quite a while, so better get him on. Charles, are you there? Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Mark and Vicky. I saw stuff from Australia. They already had these contact tracers operating, going around and taking people from families in Australia. There's only 123 deaths all these months in Australia from the COVID-19 virus out of 25.5 million in Australia. Yet it's under total lockdown, and to see the appearance of these, you know, these contact tracers, Stasi clowns, and also they say in Arkansas they're going around too. In the state of the U.S. state of Arkansas, so there.
How much does it vary, Charles?
We're going
to
have the big betrayal from.
Give us a bit of insight here into how it varies from state to state, because all this we get is the cherry-picked kind of information that's coming across. Does it vary a lot in different states? This because over in the UK, it's kind of variant on the sort of businesses that you interface with here. I mean, the contact tracing app has been a monumental failure, so they're bringing in the Google and Apple one. But there are kind of pockets of these contact tracers, and of course they're targeting cities like Leicester. Is it the same sort of scenario in the States?
I think it probably is. I really think that the idea is to identify the people who are basically opting out and who they are in contact with. They need a unique ID. Is the whole big problem. They need a unique ID for the medical record. And so this vaccine card, the COVID card or the immunization cards, where they're going to prevent you from traveling if you don't have one, is a way to de facto, sub rosa, get people signed up with a globally unique ID for their medical record.
This is nothing but what they have in communist countries, internal passports. You know anything about the USSR, I knew people that used to live there. And you couldn't move around. You had different nationalities, you know. Even Jews had nationality on their card Russians, Ukrainians, the different nationalities that existed in the old USSR. You had block wardens. You couldn't move. This is totalitarian. You were talking about Johns Hopkins. My parents went. My dad went there and with my mother in the 1930s, and they were as red as can be back then. The psychiatrist and psychologist, and my dad was studying English, wasn't studying medicine. You know, Johns Hopkins was the first real university in the United States.
Yes, we covered the history of that some time ago, Charles, along with, of course, the same sort of organizations here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thanks a lot for your call, Charles.
Thank you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I wanna say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just wanna use your love tonight.
I don't want technocracy, we're talking technocracy tonight. Here today. And we're talking to Vicky Davis, a regular guest, as usual, covering important subjects. And we've had quite an interesting conversation today, as usual. And we're talking really about the implementation of this new global health system on the back of COVID-19. And the whole of what is happening in the present has already been pre-planned in the not-so-distant past. Interestingly, in this document, I referred to about the so-called SPARS pandemic, S-P-A-R-S, rather than SARS. It says that public interest in SPARS had begun to wane. In late April, the CDC had publicized an update case and a fatality rate estimate, suggesting the SPARS was only fatal in 0.6% of cases in the United States, where access to medical treatment was available, it says here. This figure matched public sentiment, widely expressed on social media, that SPARS was not as dangerous as initially thought. It's almost like they knew what was going to happen, Vicky, isn't it?
Well, of course, because they planned it out. So I have the statistics from the WHO. I got this from a Reuters article, and on what the WHO calls a pandemic. Okay, in 2009, the swine flu or H1 virus killed 284,500 people. And between 2013 to 2016, Ebola killed 11,300 people. Polio in 2014 in Pakistan, Syria, and Cameroon, the world total cases was 417. In 2016, Zika, there were 2,300 cases worldwide. And then in 2018 to 2019, Ebola came back with 2,236 deaths. Okay, for each one of those years or, you know, series of years, the WHO called a health emergency for them.
Oh, they always like that word. Yeah, that global. No, it's a global health emergency, Vicky, because no one will be left behind and everyone has to be included. It's all got to be about inclusivity.
Yes,
very interesting, actually, looking at that document. I'm going to follow up on that in another show, because it's great when you get these websites which tell you all of this stuff in very few words, because they have to get it down to sound bites. And I think that's the interesting thing, because having read loads of documents over the years and trying to talk about this stuff and go into detail, it does lose the public, but you have to hit them with what the globalists are actually hitting them with, which is simplistic sound bites, and then tell people what they actually mean. I think the decoding of the language is vitally important. But when you read things like this pandemic report, this tabletop exercise, it really does bring it home that we're in a virtual reality that is being created. So we have to be outside it and be unpredictable. I'll be back on Thursday. Thanks to Vicky David.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.